Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners. Hello, and welcome to As It Is, the current events program from VOA Learning English. Every day, we bring you programs about our world in slower, easy-to-understand English. We use simpler American English, but we include important words that will aid your English comprehension. Today is the day before Christmas, or Christmas Eve. Christians around the world are preparing to mark the Christmas holiday, the day that celebrates the birth of Christ. Families gather and exchange gifts. Music and religious observances mark this time of year. Today, we have a story from Kenya. It tells how Muslims hid Christians from Muslim extremist attackers in a town near Kenya's border with Somalia and Ethiopia. Then, we hear how Turkish officials are struggling to deal with huge numbers of Syrian refugee children. Not enough of these children are in school. Human rights activists are trying to bring more attention to the situation. Later in the program, we place our attention on the most popular education stories from our website this year. There are some surprises among the stories. Who would think that tips on public speaking would have been our most talked about education story this year? But first, Christopher Cruz tells us about a tragedy in Kenya that could have been much worse.
Muslims risked their lives to protect Christians against militant gunmen on a bus in Kenya on Monday. The gunmen boarded a crowded bus in Mandera and demanded that Muslim passengers leave the bus. That would have left the Christian travelers behind. But the Muslim passengers refused. Some gave Christian women passengers their hijabs or head coverings, CNN reported. They helped others hide behind bags. Two people were killed in the attack. But more would have died if the Muslim passengers had obeyed the militants' order and left the Christian passengers behind on the bus. CNN quoted passenger Abdkafar Tenno saying, "They told them, the militants, if you want to kill us, then kill us. There are no Christians here." BBC reported that some Muslim passengers told the attackers to kill them together or leave them alone. Authorities said the gunmen left the bus after the passengers refused to separate based on religion. Some passengers warned that police were following the bus, Kenya's Standard newspaper reported. But that was not true. The police car assigned to protect the bus had broken down, Kenyan officials said. 100 passengers, mostly women, were on the bus at the time of the attack, according to Kenyan officials. Kenyan officials praised the courage of the passengers. "We are all Kenyans. We are not separated by religion," said Joseph Nkaiseri, Kenya's Interior Cabinet Secretary. Terrorism has been a major problem in the area. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for Monday's attack. It has tried to turn Somalia into a fundamentalist Islamic state. Al-Shabaab has launched attacks in Kenya after Kenyan forces went to Somalia to fight the militants. Last April, Al-Shabaab militants killed 148 people in an attack on Garissa University College. In that attack, the militants killed Christians while sparing many Muslims. The college is expected to reopen in January. In 2014, a bus was attacked near Mandera by Al-Shabaab militants. 28 non-Muslims were killed in that attack. These terrorist attacks and others have led 2,000 foreign teachers and many non-Muslim health workers to leave the area, according to BBC. The area where Monday's attack took place is near the border with Somalia, Al-Shabaab's home base. BBC said the passengers who refused to tell their religions showed courage, but they also might have acted out of frustration, BBC said. While the terrorist attacks have targeted non-Muslims, many Muslims have been hurt by the departure of foreign teachers and health workers, BBC said. According to government officials, the bus targeted in Monday's attack was traveling from the Kenyan capital of Nairobi to Mandera. Mandera is near the border with Somalia and Ethiopia. The buses generally travel with a police escort because of the threat of terrorist attacks. But the police car assigned to protect the bus broke down, according to Nkaiserry, Kenya's Interior Cabinet Secretary. He said that the bus driver continued on the trip without police protection. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Human rights activists and government officials say the situation of school-age Syrian refugees in Turkey is urgent. They say hundreds of thousands of children need to start school as soon as possible. Dan Friedel has more on this crisis.
There are about 650,000 school-aged Syrian refugee children in Turkey. Government officials estimate only about one-third of them are going to school. Educating the refugee children is an enormous task. One U.S. official says that a huge school system like the one in New York City would be overwhelmed. Human Rights Watch says that if the students do not receive a quality education, they would be in danger of being exploited in dangerous and low-paying jobs in the future. The United States says it is working with the United Nations to help bridge the education gap for refugee children. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the children in Turkey need to start school soon. Without school, the effects will be negative and long-lasting. It would be the same as if the three largest public school systems in the U.S., New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, closed. The United States provided Turkey with aid for education earlier. In December, it offered an additional $24 million. Human Rights Watch says a quality education will ensure a more stable future for these children. I'm Dan Friedel.
Thanks, Rick and Jill. I'm Mario Ritter. That's today's As It Is. I hope you enjoyed our program. Listen again tomorrow for a special holiday program of music for the season.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
For English learners, the top education topics of the year are tips, tests, and, of course, everyday grammar. In 2015, the VOA Learning English Education article, with more shares on Facebook and the most page views, is 5 Tips for Planning a Presentation. This collection of tips is part of a public speaking series drawn from interviews with Professor Charles LeBeau. The 5 tips help presenters with titles, topics, transitions, images, the audience's point of view, and rehearsing. 2 other stories in the series are also among our top stories. 3 tips to improve your public speaking skills tells how to avoid the common fear of public speaking by carefully planning. Improve Your Public Speaking with Body Language gives advice on 3 things speakers should remember: posture, eye contact, and gestures.
How Well Does Your Country Speak English? Features the results of an online test. And It Seems Everyone Wanted to Know the Average Results of Their Country's English Tests. A comparison of the big English tests is among the top stories for 2015. TOEFL, IELTS, or TOEIC. Comparing the tests tells the differences between the tests and gives a student's point of view on how to prepare for them.
VOA started a new education series in 2015, Everyday Grammar. Our goal in this series is to give simple explanations and show examples of English structures in everyday conversation, popular songs, and movies. The top everyday grammar stories are about prepositions, pronouns, and verb tenses. Are you in, on, or at? Prepositions that tell of time and place reveals the secret of how these prepositions move from general to specific topics. Betty Azar, author of many books on English grammar, is the topic of another popular story. Betty Azar, rock star of English grammar. Another big hit is Students Love Grammar. So why do teachers hate it? Betty Azar tells us why it is important for English learners to study grammar at the same time they are practicing communication skills.
Can You Correct Her and I? Tells readers that even native speakers of English make mistakes with pronouns and has a simple test to check your pronouns. Simple past and present perfect includes a song and quotes from a Batman movie to explain the 2 tenses. Facebook shares put The Sounds of Grammar with Betty Azar into the top list. Our guest author tells why it is often hard for English learners to hear the important sounds in sentences when native speakers talk. I'm Rick Hindman.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. Last week, we talked about the growth of the cattle industry. This industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young, just boys, and so they were called cowboys. This week in our series, Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy, and he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called Get Along Little Dogie. Dogie is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the dogies forward. He feels sorry for them because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
Well, as I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy a-riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Walk a tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Walk a tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's early in the springtime, we round up those dogies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out on the north trail. Whoop-a-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-ho, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one, called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd. Started up the trail with the two you heard, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Up every morning, before daylight, and before I sleep, the moon shines bright, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punch them cattle, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore back horse, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. And I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Roping and a tying and a branding all day, I'm a working mighty hard for a mighty little pay, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. With my foot in the stirrup and the hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for no darn man, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. A paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint, lead an old Dan, going to Montana to throw the hoolian. Feed them in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snappy and a-raring to go. I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. Going to Montana to throw the hoolian. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall, put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall. Tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west. We'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-raring to go. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy, a-raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called The Dying Cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've oft been told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant, this wish to me. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. He wailed in pain, and o'er his brow death's shadows fast were gathering now. He thought of his friends and his home but night, as the cowboys gathered to see him die. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pallid lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed.
Our program was written by Harold Braverman. The narrator was Kay Gallant. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs are online, along with historical images, at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for The Making of a Nation, an American history series in VOA Special English.